Jeremiah chapter 16, the Bible reads in verse number 1, "The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bare them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths." And then he continues on there, and we'll get to that in a moment. Jeremiah was a young man, and God's not telling him that he's never going to have a wife and children, but God's just telling him that he should hold off and not get married yet because of the fact that God's going to bring such destruction upon the land of Judah that he's not going to want to have a wife and kids when everything goes down. It reminds me of the scripture that says, you know, "Woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days." And because there was just some immediate danger coming, God just specifically tells Jeremiah, just don't take a wife yet, don't have kids yet, because of the damage that's going to be done in the land, and it's going to affect families. And this chapter is, again, following the same theme. I mean, here we are, 16 weeks in. Have you noticed a pattern? Almost every single chapter is just breathing out doom and destruction on the Jews and on the children of Judah, and how God's going to send punishments and so forth. It says in verse 4, "They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them." Now, the Bible, over and over again, proclaims this kind of negative message today. And today, preachers, they want to just cherry pick certain positive verses, or verses that really deal with the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, which of course are all things we believe in, but they purposely avoid this type of a negative scripture, and they never preach it. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, we see this over and over again. I didn't cherry pick this scripture and say, hey, let's just go to Jeremiah 16 tonight because it really gives the message that I want to give for my own personal agenda. No, this was ordained over 4 months ago when I decided to preach through the book of Jeremiah. Here we just happen to be in Jeremiah 16. And I don't think that it's some kind of an act of God or a sign tonight that this scripture is so relevant to the events of the last few weeks. But I just think that there are so many passages like this in the Bible that support us that we could almost just flip open the Bible anywhere and it's going to promote our doctrine.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because we're preaching the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
And look, this says right here about these wicked people in Judah who in previous chapters he said they're reprobate. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 30. He said, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord has rejected them." Elsewhere, he said, "Pray not for this people. Pray not for this people for their good." Look what he says here in verse 5. "For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament them nor bemoan them." Now, let me ask you, isn't that exactly what Pastor Roger Jimenez said?
Right.
Isn't that exactly what I said on the Sunday after that Orlando thing where those bunch of filthy, disgusting homos got shot up by a Muslim? Isn't that what I said? I'm not going to lament them. I'm not going to bemoan them. Let them be like dung on the face of the earth.
That's right.
But you know what? People say, oh, you're so hateful and unloving, and that's not the Spirit of God. Well, it was the Spirit of God in Jeremiah 16.
Right.
What does the Bible say? Don't lament these people. Don't bemoan them. Jeremiah, don't go into the house of mourning for these people. No! They're wicked. He says right here in verse number 5, he says, look at the latter half of the verse, "For I've taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies."
Right, right.
Look, there's a point where God gets fed up and where he removes his loving kindness and mercies, but people still want to just keep talking about the loving kindness as if it's still there, even when it's gone. It's garbage, my friend. I'm telling you today that there is an epidemic of preachers preaching lies to the United States of America. We are living in, and I'm going to deviate from Jeremiah 16 tonight because I'm going to preach whatever I want, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of being censored. This sermon is going to be uncensored.
Amen.
You know, oh yeah, that's right, they all are. But anyway, the point is that the book of Jeremiah is as relevant, it's more relevant than today's newspaper.
That's right.
Okay, because Jeremiah was preaching to a nation that had once been a godly nation, once been a righteous nation, and had now just gone completely off the deep end into wickedness. And there were all these preachers that Jeremiah keeps bringing up and that God keeps bringing up that just keep telling people, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And they just keep telling people, hey, everything's going to be fine and God loves you and God's not mad at you. And they want to talk about the mercies and the loving kindness and the peace. And he says, no, it's gone. And that is exactly what we have today. Look, even the independent fundamental Baptists today are preaching lies today to our country and telling them, hey, God still loves you, even if you're a faggot. God still loves you, even if you're a disgusting reprobate. And listen to me. If you don't like hot preaching, just get out right now. You better just get out before it gets hot.
Yeah.
If you can't take the heat, you better get out of this kitchen right now. Because I'm sick and tired of God's people trying to have it both ways and trying to be on the Lord's side and on the world's side. Let me tell you something. There is a full-out war going on this subject right now. The bunch of filthy sodomite perverts, and if you don't like it, get out of here. They're at war with us tonight.
That's right.
And you know what? If you're fearful and afraid and you don't want to stand up for the truth, just get out of here, because I'm sick of looking at your cowardly face.
Yeah. Amen.
Not going to put up with it. Let me tell you something. It's war. You know what the filthy sodomites have done toward our church and us? And our friends and our fellow pastors that actually have the guts to say what needs to be said. Here's what they've done in the last few weeks. They got our PayPal account shut down so that we can't take any more online donations. We set up with another company, GiveLet. They got that shut down. QGive, they got that shut down. BitPay, they got that shut down. They shut down our iTunes podcast. They shut down Brother Jimenez's PayPal account. They shut down Brother Romero's PayPal account. They shut down Paul Wittenberger's store where he sells all of his films and everything. His livelihood, that's his job. I mean, that's how he makes his money. They shut down his Framing the World store off Big Cartel. I mean, the landlord of Pastor Jimenez is saying, hey, we're not going to renew your lease. I mean, these people are dedicated. These people are researching. They're finding out, you know, where we bank. They're finding out who we do business with. They're trying to get us shut down on all fronts. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I'm sick of it. And I'm not going to back down. And I'm sick of people not backing me up on this. And you know what? If you're not going to back us up, then get out of here. We don't need your help. You know what? We have hundreds of people here that will not compromise. And if you're not one of them, then get out. I don't want to hang around with a bunch of fag hags and a bunch of queer baits and a bunch of effeminates. Get out. Look, no one in a million years would have thought when I was a child that our country would ever accept this stuff amongst Christians. You are insane. You think I'm preaching too hard? You have lost your mind. And if you ever say the word LGBT community to me, you might as well just walk up to me and just say, you know what? I'm a brainwashed idiot. I don't read the Bible. I don't love God. I'm just a brainwashed fool that has my mind filled with TV, Hollywood, and can't think for myself. LGBT. They're sodomites. They're dogs. That's what the Bible calls them. Dogs. Dogs! Say, why are you preaching so hard? Because I'm tired of weak, effeminate Christians who will not stand with the man of God. Fighting the battle that other people are scared to fight, he needs to be backed up. And I thank God that there are pretty much two kinds of people at our church. People who drove up to Sacramento to support Pastor Jimenez, or people that were supporting him in their heart from here and wish they could have been up there. I'm not going to give in to this. And look, you are just completely insane if you think that we're supposed to hang around with homosexuals and act like they're normal. You are out of your mind. The Bible said that righteous kings like Jehoshaphat and Asa, they broke down the houses of the Sodomites if they were even near the house of God. Anybody who was even near the house of God, they broke down those houses. He put the Sodomites out of the land. That's what and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the Old Testament. Hey, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Oh, that was the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the only God there is. There's only one God.
Yeah, that's right.
And Jesus Christ was that same God made manifest and dwelt among us. And that's why even in Revelation, God's wrath is as evident as it is anywhere in the Old Testament. That's why in Revelation, God turns all the water into blood, just like he did in Egypt. Same God, same punishment. He turns the water into blood, and he says, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you've given them blood to drink, because they're worthy. Even so, amen.
Amen.
That's the New Testament.
Yeah.
Does it seem like God softened up to me? He's still angry with the wicked every day. He's going to pour out his wrath. People are going to wish that they were dead. They're going to seek death and find it not. They're going to be tormented with locusts. They're going to be tormented with scorpions. They're going to be tormented with water turned into blood. They're going to be scorched with great heat. God is going to send all the fiends of hell on this earth to torment mankind when he pours out his wrath in the seven trumpets and the seven vials. And that's New Testament, my friend.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to believe that Jesus is this pot-smoking, fag-loving hippie. I don't believe it for a second.
Amen.
I don't believe that at all. You say, oh, I can't believe you say faggot. You know what? People who are offended by the word faggot are usually faggots themselves. Or they've been hanging around with too many filthy faggots. You know, what do you want me to call them? Gay. And listen, this worthless preacher, Jeff Owens... Go on YouTube and type in Jeff Owens versus Roger Jimenez. I put a little video together. This phony pastor, but he's just an example of thousands just like him. I dug out an old sermon tape from Jeff Owens from 1995, back when everybody was against homos. And I mean, they didn't just say, homosexuality is still a sin, people, but we're all sinners. No, that's not what they said. He said that they should be killed. They should be put to death. He said it's vile. It's disgusting. They're reprobates and AIDS is the judgment of God. He said all that back in 1995. Then in 2010, when it wasn't popular anymore, I uploaded it to YouTube. The Sodomites got a hold of it. They started persecuting him. And he folded like a deck of cards. And you should hear his lame, limp-wristed apology that he made, where he says, you know, I made some comments against gay people. And I was so wrong. And I was so immature and young and stupid when I said that about gay people. And I'm so embarrassed. You know, now I don't, he's like, I don't agree with the gay lifestyle. Dude, you're living the gay lifestyle. I mean, what in the world? I don't agree with the gay. It's a death style. It's not a lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle. These pastors have changed their doctrine. I don't care what anybody, you can sit there and lie about it and say, well, I just don't agree with Pastor Anderson's teaching on this. Pastor Anderson's just out to lunch on this. I just don't agree with Pastor Jimenez. You know, I mean, I would take a stand.
It's just that I don't agree with the doctrine.
No, it's a doctrine of convenience is what it is. Pretty funny how in the 1980s and in the 1990s, everybody that was a Christian agreed that homosexuality should be illegal. In the 1960s, it was illegal everywhere. And listen, I was on Telemundo today doing a TV show. They invited me in the studio. So you know how they like to do? They put the watered-down preacher on one side, and then they put the host right here, and then they put me. And so he was like the guy who didn't agree with me or whatever. And, you know, my Spanish isn't perfect, you know, and that's an understatement. So my Spanish isn't that great, but I got the message across loud and clear. You know, I sounded like a gringo while doing it, but I got the message across, you know. And I told this guy, you know, because he's like, oh, we're under grace. We're in the New Testament. We're not under the law. So I said to him, okay, well, what about somebody who murders? Are they there? Hey, we're not under the law. It's under grace, right? Oh, well, you know, I just mean we're not under God's law. It's like, what? That's so stupid, because here's the thing. Homosexuality should be a crime. Okay? Look, I'm not saying we should make all sin illegal. But homosexuality should be a crime. It was a crime under God's law where he said, you know, this is something where you'd be put to death. Okay? It's not just it's a sin. I mean, look, lying's a sin. But he never said, hey, you need to stone someone for lying. No, it was never against the law. It was just a sin. Right. You know, even having two wives wasn't even against the law, but it was still always sin because God made them at the beginning, male and female, and it's supposed to be two people becoming one flesh. But I said to this guy, I met him in the parking lot, okay, because, you know, on TV, he's just a mega compromiser agreeing with the homo. You know, disagreeing with me, shaking his head as I'm reading the truth from the Word of God. I'm reading Leviticus, you know, Levitico, you know, 2013 and everything. And I'm doing all this. Well, I meet the guy in the parking lot and I say to him, I said, hey, I want to ask you a question. I said, listen, man, I said, a lot of what you said I agree with, but, you know, you're missing something here. I said, let me ask you this. In the 1960s, homosexuality was illegal in all 50 states in the United States. Let me ask you something. Do you believe it was God's will that homosexuality be legalized? Was that God's will? After being illegal for hundreds of years, it was just God's will that in the 60s and 70s it start being legalized? Is that what you believe? And he said, no, it definitely was not God's will. Yeah, it should be against the law. I'm like, why were you just on TV? Argue with me then. He's like, oh yeah, I mean, because God doesn't change. I mean, the government can change things, but God doesn't change. I'm like, yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, that's what I was saying, amigo. Where were you at though, buddy? Because you know why? Because he wants to be popular. He's being all gentle and nice with all the sodomites and everything on TV. And he wants to get along with everybody and be everybody's friend. Look, it's a doctrine that is so retarded. It doesn't make any sense. And I asked the guy on, you know, when we were still on TV, I said to the guy, I said, well, let me ask you this, because he's like, that's Old Testament. I said, well, was the 1960s, were we still in the Old Testament? Because I said, I don't think the New Testament's that new, brother. It's new, but it's not that new. Are you saying that the New Testament just started in the 1960s? I mean, these people, I've been giving them the benefit of the doubt for a long time that they just don't understand the doctrine. So I keep trying to explain it to them like, look, if God said that adulterers should be killed and murderers should be killed and rapists should be killed, that's a criminal law to keep the peace in society. That's not just some spiritual law. Look, we're not anarchists. We believe that there should be laws to protect people. And those are the laws that God established. And how can you sit there and say that American law today is better than the law that they had in the Bible? The law of the Lord's perfect. Do you believe that or not?
Amen.
Do you believe that the law of the Lord is perfect, or do you think that our law today is better? So when the Bible said that homosexuality should be illegal, you say, no, we've progressed past God's law. Now we have a better law since 2003 where it's totally legal, because there were still laws against it in some places even until 2003. Places in the South that are more, you know, Baptist oriented. But all of a sudden, all these guys who were breathing fire and ripping face, and look, it wasn't just Jeff Owens. That's just one example. He was just caught on tape. I've sat in more services than I can even count where the pastor said, hey, homosexuals should be put to death. Yeah. I can't even count how many. My pastor, Stephen Nichols, in Sacramento, and he, I'm sure he doesn't want me mentioning his name, but I'll mention his name. What do I care? I don't have anything to be ashamed of. I hope he doesn't either. And I'm not saying he does. I'm going to just assume that he still stands where he's always stood. You know? I'm just going to assume that he's still preaching right. And he said more times than I can even count. He said they ought to take all the homosexuals and put them all on a boat and give them enough gas to get halfway out in the middle of the ocean and let the sharks eat them. That's what he said. And he said that if he said that once, he said it 50 times. But nobody even batted an eye. Nobody even cared except unsaved people. You know, when I'd bring unsaved visitors, sometimes my unsaved visitor would just be kind of like, whoa, why is he so against homos? You know, and I have to explain it to him, like, how bad it is. But say, I mean, look, if you listen to the recording of Jeff Owens preaching that, he's preaching that at Hiles Anderson College. There's 1,500 students there. Everybody's cheering and saying amen, and nobody batted an eye. Nobody cared until 15 years later did they even care. And he says, oh, I was young and immature and stupid when I said that. Well, that's funny because you were the vice president of pretty much the largest independent Baptist college in America. You're the vice president of a college with 1,500 students. I mean, how immature could you possibly be to get a position like that? That's a pretty important position. No, you weren't immature. You weren't young or stupid. You were bold. You were filled with the Spirit. You were telling the truth. You were right with God. And now you've become backslidden and pansy and lame and afraid. And, you know, you say, well, I just don't like the way that Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez and Pastor Romero, Pastor Berzins, you know, Pastor Manly Perry, anybody else, you know, I just don't like the way you guys are fighting this battle. Okay, well, then why don't we fight it like the people down the street? They're not fighting it at all.
Right.
Go ahead, switch churches. I encourage you to do so. Switch churches to the other kind of fag-loving Baptist church in this town. Go ahead. See if I care. Because you know what? You'll go there, and they're not fighting it at all. They get up and pat themselves on the back how spiritual they are because they said, hey, we're against gay marriage. I don't even know what gay marriage is. I've been to every marriage I've ever been to was gay because gay means happy. Why don't they say, hey, you know, I'm against sexual perverts. I'm against disgusting pedophiles and perverters of the flesh. I'm against dogs, haters of God, sodomites, vile, reprobates. Look, they've gone after our PayPal, shut it down. iTunes, shut it down. QGive, shut it down. GiveLet, shut it down. BitPay, shut it down. Big Cartel, shut it down. They call the landlord and try to shut it down. You know what? They're going to have to shut me down. Yep. They're going to have to shut me down in a grave to ever shut me up. Right. They're going to have to kill me. The only way to stop me is to kill me. And if you kill me, that won't even stop me because my videos and CDs will continue to live on. They'll become 10 times as popular if you kill me. So there's no way to stop me. There's no way to stop the truth. There's no way to stop Pastor Jimenez. You can shut down this and shut down that. You know what? We can always find some banker who will take our money because our money's green.
Yeah, that's right.
That'll let us accept credit cards on our website.
Yeah.
It's the truth. But look, how can you sit there and turn your back? And no, look, nobody in our church has turned their back on me. Just let me be clear. No, I don't know of anybody, and now's not the time to come out of the closet. But I don't know of anybody in this church who's turned their back on me. So, but I'm saying, look, But, you know, but there are some people that turn their back on Pastor Jimenez. And it's, I mean, most people are standing strong with him. How can you turn your back on us when basically all of hell itself has its sights on us and is spending literally full time? I mean, there are people literally full time right now, 8 hours a day, making phone calls, sending emails, sending letters on a campaign to destroy our ministry, to destroy Faithful Word Baptist, and to destroy all of our friends and all the other preachers in this country, which isn't that many, unfortunately, that actually have the guts, and you're going to side with these bunch of filthy animals because you're scared. And you know what? Don't let anybody ever tell you that they just, oh, I just disagree with the doctor. No, you're scared. Right. And you know what? There's two kinds of pastors who aren't preaching the truth about homos. Either they're scared or they're an idiot that just doesn't know the Bible at all. You're telling me that I'm supposed to go enter the house of mourning for a bunch of filthy queers when the Bible says right here about the children of Judah, don't lament for them. Don't go to the house of mourning for them. It's right here in chapter 6. And I didn't put it there. And I didn't plan like, oh, I'm going to turn to Jeremiah 16. No, I just opened the Bible on Wednesday night. It's a Bible study. We're in Jeremiah 16. And there it is right there. He said, don't mourn for Orlando. Don't mourn for Orlando. Let their bodies be like dung on the face. You know, they love dung so much in their lifetime. Let them be like dung upon the earth. Bunch of filth. And, you know, I don't want to be graphic tonight. But, you know, if some of you need somebody to grab you and shake you and tell you that these people are into dung is what they're into. That's what I mean. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go any further than that, because it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, I mean, telling these people to eat dung and die is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they do anyway. And you know what? I don't tell them that, though, because that's too graphic. I just tell them to get AIDS and die.
Yeah, that's
get right. AIDS and die, you freak.
Amen.
And you know what? You can read the New Testament till you're blue in the face, and it has all the same warnings and condemnations of these people. It's the New Testament that explained how they're reprobate and how God already gave them over to vile affections and God gave them up. It's a New Testament that's not Old Testament. And you know what? I'm sick of people rejecting the Old Testament.
Right.
The Old Testament is God's word.
Amen.
And I'm not going to re-preach my sermon from Sunday morning. But if you would, go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look, I'm here to tell you tonight, we're at war. Listen, if a country embargoes another country where they don't let them trade, they don't let them buy or sell, that's an act of war.
Yeah.
When you set up a no-fly zone over a country and say, hey, we don't want any product being shipped in, we don't want any product being shipped out, that's an act of war.
Right.
And let me tell you something. They are doing a warm-up for the mark of the beast is what they're doing.
Yeah.
We're going to a cashless society, so half the money that comes in is online. So they want to shut down that pipeline, and they want to shut down people like Paul Wittenberger with FramingTheWorld.com. Okay, they want to shut him down because he's actually selling movies that tell the truth. And all they want you to see is the crap that Hollywood's putting out. That's all they want you to be able to watch. Somebody makes a DVD that tells the truth, it's hate speech. Oh, that's hate. And listen to me. If you're a Christian that ever uses the word hate speech for any reason, you need somebody to slap you and tell you that you have been completely brainwashed by the world, try to get you some smelling salts and slap you and wake you up. Don't ever use that term to me. Anybody who says you're preaching hate, you might as well just say, I'm totally brainwashed. Because you didn't get, show me that in the Bible. Show me the Bible, preaching hate, hate speech, hate preacher. You're hateful. Show me where people in the Bible, where preachers in the Bible are told you're hateful for preaching the laws of Moses or the laws of God or the laws of Christ. Show me that. You didn't get that from the Bible. You got that from MSNBC. Yeah. You got that from CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox News. That's where you got that garbage. And you have the gall to come up to me and say, this isn't preaching. This is hate speech. It's both.
Right. Yeah.
It's both. The fundamental Baptist leaders of the past, even if they didn't fully understand the doctrine of reprobates, and many of them did. Growing up, I heard many sermons on people being reprobate, it being too late for them. You know, they've been given over, all this. Even the preachers who didn't understand that doctrine, they still preach that these people are disgusting and should be killed. And that they're pedophiles. Look, I picked up a police manual from the 1950s. I was working on a Federal Park Service building, and they had an old police manual for the Park Service from the 1950s. I opened that manual. It had a whole chapter on homosexuality. And it said they like to hang around the public restrooms. They hang around in the bushes. Their goal is to molest children. Beware of them. Even if they seem like they're straight, they're in the closet. And you need to watch out for these dangerous predators. That was a police manual put out by the United States federal government. Now, look, do you think that's because the federal government said, hey, all homosexuals are reprobate and it's impossible for them to be saved? So people want to hide behind that. Look, people want to say, like, well, I don't agree with Pastor Anderson. I think some of them could be saved. Okay, fine. Let's give you that. I don't believe that, and I will never believe that, and I will go to the grave not believing that. I believe they're a reprobate or they wouldn't even have that lust. But let's just say, for argument's sake, okay, they're not all reprobate. Okay, they could still be saved. Well, let me ask this. Does that change the fact that God prescribed the death penalty? Okay, can murderers be saved? Yeah, but didn't God still prescribe the death penalty for first-degree murder? Okay, can thieves be saved? Yeah, but does that mean that they shouldn't pay back fourfold? They shouldn't be punished? It should just be anarchy? But what it comes down to is that today we believe that we are smarter than God, that the American justice system is perfect, and that God's law is flawed. No, I think God's law is perfect, and the American justice system is an injustice system.
Right.
And you know what? In a time of war is not the time to go soft.
Right.
We need to rally the troops. And you know what? Our church is experiencing revival. We're breaking attendance records every month. I mean, did you see how many people were out soul winning today at 5:15? That's one of our many soul winning times. What, do we have 50 people here for soul winning? You know why? Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and the little wussies get going, as in getting out of here. And it's fine with me. Because you know what? I know that there are many people in Pastor Jimenez's church, our church, other churches right now, that are actually getting fired up. They're getting zealous. They're doing more soul winning. I talked to somebody from up at Verity. They said, hey, I don't usually go soul winning on Saturday, but I wanted to be sure to be there to support our church.
Amen.
And I went soul winning at an extra time, and I had two saved.
Amen.
And then these bunch of sissified pastors have the gall to tell us that we're turning people away from the gospel. You guys are turning people off from the gospel by preaching so hard. No, you know what? For every person that's turned off by it, there's a bunch of people who are turned on by it.
Amen.
And let me prove it to you. Yesterday, YouTube had their faggot pride symbol up in the corner all day, that little rainbow heart up in the corner on YouTube. If you click on that heart, that rainbow heart, it takes you to the featured video, which I lasted for literally less than 1 second. I just like was like, pause. I didn't even get to 0 and 2 seconds. I was just like, pause. I'm not going to watch that garbage. I'm not going to fill my mind with that kind of filth. But the reason I went to it is I wanted to see how many likes versus dislikes, because I'd heard somebody say something that it was getting a lot of dislikes. I clicked on that video that was up for, at the point I saw it, less than 12 hours, I think it had been up. It had been viewed 3.2 million times because it was the featured video on YouTube if you clicked on their little sodomite symbol there up in the corner. I clicked on that, and you know what? It had 100,000 likes and 125,000 dislikes. Then I scrolled down the comments, and it showed the top comments, meaning the most popular comments. Every single comment was negative, and they had like 500 thumbs up, 200 thumbs up, 300 thumbs up, and it was just all saying, I mean, some of it was even just saying, this is a bunch of bleepity bleep bleep, why are you showing me this bleep? Okay, but so that's not, these aren't like fundamental Baptists and Bible-believing Christians going on there. They're just normal people. You know, I don't want to see this junk, okay? But then some people were posting a Bible verse. Hey, God made male and female. Hundreds of likes. You know, hey, this is disgusting. There's three genders, male, female, and mental disorder. 500 likes. 500 likes. Okay? Yeah, it was there. And I made a video where I showed it. But if you looked carefully at the comments, a lot of the comments said, this comment has been deleted 9 times. I'm posting it for the 9th time. And it still had 500 likes. I'm posting this for the 5th time. Because YouTube was going on every few minutes, every few hours, and pruning it of all the negative comments, and just only their agenda to the top. Only their agenda to the top. But the 125,000 dislikes. But do you want it? But you know what? That was really surprising to a lot of people. But can I tell you why it was surprising? Here's why it's surprising. Because they think to themselves, how could that video get such an overwhelmingly negative response when there's only like 5 pastors standing with Pastor Anderson? And saying it's disgusting and filthy and ripping. How can there be only 5 pastors when there's this overwhelming response? I'll tell you why. Because pushing thumbs down is totally anonymous. That's why. When somebody says, hey, what is this, bleep? It's real easy to just hit that thumbs up button. I'll be honest. I hit thumbs up on some of those ones that use bad language. You know? And nobody would have ever known if I hadn't have told you. You know? Right? I'm like, yeah, this is a bunch of beep. You know, I'm like, yeah. So anyway, I'm just being honest. Why? And I'm just using that to prove why. Because it's totally anonymous. It's totally anonymous. You know, I'm just confessing my fault unto you. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, the point is, it's totally anonymous. So all the scared, spineless Christians who all know that what I'm saying is true, they all know that what I'm saying is true. They all know it's gross. Look, what am I saying that I'm under fire for anyway? What have I said? What is it that's bringing down all this persecution? What is it that's making people so mad at Pastor Jimenez and myself? It's the same thing I've preached for 10 and a half years. And unlike these fundamental Baptists who preached something totally different in the 90s, I've been consistent for the last 11 years. You can download my sermon from the first year of our church's existence. It's called Sodomite Reprobates. And I taught everything that I've always taught. Okay, but here's what I'm under fire for, okay? For saying that they're gross and disgusting. Because we're supposed to be treating them lovingly and respectfully, even though the Bible says they're filthy and vile. So I'm under fire for saying that they're gross, disgusting, filthy, you know, and just ripping on them in such harsh language. Not even using so-called profanity, but just saying like, oh, filthy, disgusting, faggots, you know. And by the way, faggot was never a cuss word when I was a kid.
Right.
Every kid on the playground said it 5 bazillion times. Okay. That's a new development that's somehow censored. Okay. But I'm just telling you, that's number one, I'm under fire for saying that. Number two, I'm under fire for saying that God was right when he said that they should be put to death. He was right about that. Now, I'm not saying, I've never said, hey, let's go kill them. No one, none of us have ever said that. Hey, let's go hurt somebody. Let's go gay bashing. And by the way, I know people who used to go gay bashing. Like literally back, you know, 30 years ago, they would go just driving around San Francisco just looking for some homo just to beat the snot out of them. Have I ever taught that? No. I'm not saying to beat anybody up. I'm not saying to kill anybody. I never have. Okay? And by the way, neither me nor Brother Jimenez ever praised the shooting and praised the shooter. Look, that shooter is in hell right now because he's a Muslim. And I don't believe it's right to just go in and just shoot up the place and be judge, jury, and executioner. I don't believe in vigilantism. I don't believe that it's our place to take the law into our own hands. All I said was that according to God, they deserve to die anyway because they're homosexuals and Leviticus 20:13 is there. And so therefore, I'm not going to enter the house of mourning. I'm not going to lament them, just like it says in Jeremiah chapter 16 here. I'm not going to do it. Why should I? But I didn't say, oh, it was a glorious event. I said that the devil, in my video, watch my original video. I said, the devil loves this event, and the media loves this event because they're going to use it against Christians. So I said this is a bad event that happened because I said even though it's a net gain that there's 50 less of these perverts, you know, they're going to use this to take away our guns, take away our freedom of speech and call it hate speech and everything else. So I said this is a terrible event. I don't condone of it. I never condoned of it. Jimenez never condoned of it. We just said, hey, these people are disgusting. We shouldn't be rallying with these people. I mean, look, there was a fundamental Baptist church, Verity Baptist Church in Colorado. Because apparently there's two Verity Baptists. I don't think anybody has the guts to call their church Faithful Word Baptist Church. So I think there's only one. There might be another one out there. If so, praise God. But there's a church called Verity Baptist Church in Colorado. You go to their website, and it just comes up with a giant message. We are not the Verity Baptist that has that YouTube video. And here's what they said. Our hearts are with the victims and their families. These innocent people who died. Innocent. And people said, you know, people defend, all these pastors are defending their use of the word innocent. Like, well, innocent doesn't mean they're sinless. It just doesn't mean that they've done anything that would merit being killed. Is that true? Is that what the Bible says? Now, I'm not saying it was done properly, of course. I'm not saying it was I never praised the event, but I'm saying that those people, if we were living with a righteous government, which we don't have, would have been put to death anyway. And look, if we had a righteous government, no one would ever go to prison for any reason, because God never taught prison. He taught punishments of beatings, paying a fine, or being killed. Those are the type of punishments. He never locked people up in a cage for 20 years and ruined their life. That's a cruel and unusual punishment. I don't believe that anyone should be locked in a cage and put away for 10 years, 15 years. That's inhumane. That's cruel. They should receive scourging. That's what the Bible teaches. And if they steal, they should just pay the victim fourfold or twofold, depending on the situation, or fivefold. So that's what I'm under fire for, folks. That's why we can't buy nor sell. That's why we're under attack, because we believe Leviticus 20:13, and we use New Testament-style language, filthy, vile, reprobate, to talk about these people, strange, you know. And that's what we're under fire for. Now, everybody wants to just home in on this thing of them being a reprobate and try to make it all about that. Well, you know what? That's not what the media is talking about. Show me, out of all the news stories, and there are plenty, I mean, they ran news stories on Brother Jimenez in Sacramento, probably 15 of them. Show me which one talks about him saying that they can't be saved. Can somebody point me to a news article like that? Because that's not what it's about, right? But that's what all the weak Christians are using to say, like, oh, well, I don't believe that all, I think that there could be some that aren't reprobate. So let me just conveniently bow out of this fight. Let me just conveniently not. It's a doctrine of convenience. I don't believe for one second. There's 6,000 independent fundamental Baptists in this country. I don't believe for one second that I am the only one smart enough to pick up the Bible and figure out that we're not supposed to mourn when homosexuals die. I don't think I'm the only person who figured it. I mean, am I the only person who has Leviticus 20:13 in my Bible? Am I the only person that has Psalm 19, the law of the Lord's perfect? Am I the only one that has Romans 1 that says God gave them up, God gave them over, God gave them up three times? Am I the only one that has the Bible telling me that they which commit such things are worthy of death? Am I the only one that has the part of the Bible that says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with them that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Am I the only one? Go to Psalm 58. Am I the only one that has Psalm 58 in my Bible? I'm starting to worry that my Bible might be defective. I want to make sure that I don't have something with additional material that other people don't have. Okay? So let's just do a quick check. Let's make sure that none of our Bibles have been tampered with. Okay, Psalm 58, verse 11. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Now, when did these other pastors ever preach that verse? So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. So what about that passage do these people not understand? and they come at you with a verse that says, oh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yeah, why don't you finish the sentence? Yeah. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that he would turn from his wickedness.
Right.
Obviously, God would prefer that people would get saved and turn away from wickedness. Obviously, God would prefer that than to just be glad. Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't get saved. I just take pleasure in their death. No, no, no. But here's the thing about these filthy reprobates. They're not going to turn from their wickedness. They can't. The Bible says, thank you, John chapter 12, verse 39, therefore they could not believe. Because he said that God has darkened their heart and blinded their eyes. Look, if God darkens your heart and blinds your eyes, you can't believe. That's what it says. Now look, anybody who believes will be saved. Okay? But if you can't believe, then you can't be saved. If you're a hater of God and you don't even want to retain God in your knowledge, you're probably not going to be receiving Christ into your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, what does it say? The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Look, I didn't even go over there and wash my feet in the blood of them. And yet I'm under fire. Verity, you know, Pastor Jimenez didn't get on a plane. I don't think Pastor Romero hopped on a plane to Orlando so he could just go wash his feet in the blood of the wicked and praise God for their death. But if he would have, it would have been okay. And you know what's funny? People say, it's Old Testament. But see, Psalms is not Old Testament. Psalms is New Testament. Because the Bible clearly states that in the New Testament, we are to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Therefore, if we were in a perfect world, if we were perfect Christians, if we were doing everything that God wanted us to do, we would not only sing hymns and spiritual songs, but we would also sing the psalms out of the book of Psalms. That's God's will for us. Now, unfortunately, very few King James psalms have been put to music. But you know what? It's God's will that they be sung even in the New Testament. So why would God want us to sing about washing our feet in the blood of the wicked in the New Testament? Can somebody explain that to me? Because it's valid today, that's why. Because it still stands. Because God is still the same God. Oh, he's such a mean God in the Old Testament. Well, if he's mean then, he's mean now.
Yeah.
Oh, he's such a loving God in the New Testament. That means he was loving back then.
Yeah.
He's always been a loving God. You know when the age of grace started? With Adam and Eve. That's when it started. Because God gave grace unto Adam and Eve. That's how they could even be saved. That's how Abel could even be saved, was through grace. God's love, God's mercy, God's loving kindness, God's forgiveness. It's always been there. It'll always be there. And God's hatred, wrath, vengeance has always existed. And honestly, it's getting to the point where I'm starting to just realize the uncomfortable truth that it's not that these guys don't understand, it's just that they're scared. It's not that they're, you know, because I kept thinking they just don't get it. I just need to explain it a little different. And I preach sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, explaining it and breaking it down. And then people just don't get it. And then people come to me and they're like, well, you're saying that if a homo believes in Jesus, he still won't be saved. I'm just like, I never said that. I'm saying they don't believe in Jesus. Anybody who believes in Jesus will be saved. They don't believe in Jesus. But I met one that said they believe in Jesus. They're lying. Get real, folks. You know, and yet they still come at you. You're saying that if someone commits homosexuality, then that makes them a reprobate. I said that they're a reprobate, and that's why they would even do that stuff. Because normal people don't want to do that stuff. Who here really struggles hard to not be a homo? I mean, it's really hard. I mean, other men are just so appealing, and it's a struggle. No, no, you're like, gross, it's disgusting. Look, the only way that a dude would ever lust after another dude is if God gave him over unto vile affections to do those things which are not convenient. But, you know, I can explain it and explain it and explain it. Listen, folks, they're pretending that they don't understand it. When you're like, well, the Bible says death penalty here in Leviticus 20:13. Oh, no, we're not under the law. They're pretending to not understand it, folks. They are just pretending. It's that simple. They're pretending because they don't want to take a stand. Why? They don't want the sodomites coming after their job. They don't want the sodomites shutting down their PayPal, shutting down their iTunes, shutting down their landlord, shutting down BitPay, QGive, GiveLed, Big Cartel, so that you can't buy or sell. And look, everything's going cashless. This is a warm-up for the Mark of the Beast, where they're making it really hard. And thank God, one of my listeners online contacted me and said, hey, my dad owns a company that can set up that credit card thing for your website, and he'll never shut you down, right? Because he, you know, because we support you. So thank God that's in the pipeline. We're getting that set up to replace Gay Pal, you know, to replace QGive, which Q probably stands for queer, okay? To replace, why? Because you know what? They're never going to stop me. They'll never stop me. They'll never stop us. And you know what? The more they afflicted the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, says the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Yeah. Right. During periods of great persecution is when great growth happens. Yeah. Because we can purge out all the sissies and purge out all the fair weather Christians, purge out all the weaklings that don't want to take a stand. And you know what's left? The creme de la creme. And then they start rolling up their sleeves. And it's an on-fire, soul-winning campaign. And you know what? They can sit there and say whatever they want. We win more to Christ in this church in 1 week's time than they do on their biggest revival of the year that they brag. They brag about their biggest revival of the year. We do that every week. So don't tell us we don't love people. Don't sit there and say, oh, you're not loving Pastor Anderson. You don't love your neighbor. Well, that's funny because my neighbor's door has been knocked 6 times with the gospel. Because I've canvassed with the help of many of our church members my subdivision 6 times, every door. And we've knocked the doors in Guadalupe 6 times, every door. All this part of South Phoenix, from here all the way to 20th Street or 16th Street, we've knocked every one of those doors at least 6 times, probably 10 times on South Phoenix. Why? Because we have more love in our little finger than that faggoty church down the street has in their whole body. That's why. Because they don't even know what love means. They don't even know what hate means. To them, it's just a slogan. Just God is love. They don't even know what that means. Here's some help for you. This is love that we walk after His commandments. This is the love of God that we keep His commandments. Look, what about loving the Word of God? What about loving Leviticus? I mean, they say, well, love your neighbor as yourself, which is Leviticus 19. Then Leviticus 20 says to kill the sodomites. Well, here's the thing. Once they're dead, then everybody's your neighbor. Because people will put on Facebook, love thy homosexual neighbor. No, my homosexual neighbor should be dead, according to chapter 20, verse 13. Exactly. And then I could love all my neighbors.
Amen. That's right.
I wouldn't have to discriminate. You know, and then I'm on there on Telemundo today, and on the teleprompter, it's coming, you know, because the empty suit who's reading the news, you know, he's got a teleprompter telling him what to say. You know, well, what about blacks? What about Hispanics? What about me? I'm a little darker than you. The guy was like one shade darker than me, barely. What about me? It's just, look, they're brainwashing everybody right now. Look, listen. Let me just expose to you some of the lies, okay? You know what they're saying about Brother Jimenez right now? Here's what they say about, oh, he praised the shooting. He praised the shooter. That's a total lie. He never said anything like that. Then, you know what? We sent up a big group, people all over Northern California, people from East Palo Alto, people from all over. They all converged on the church. There were 281 people in the service. Who was at the service? Put up your hand. So did it look like 281 people? It was packed. Clearly 281. Hey, you know, on the front page of the only newspaper in Sacramento, there's only one. When I was a kid, there were two. But throughout my life, the conservative paper, the Sacramento Union, kept getting smaller, and the Sacramento Bee kept getting bigger until the Sacramento Union was just gone. Because Sacramento has just become a liberal, commie, LGBT, faggoty hellhole, apparently. But anyway, so the one newspaper in Sacramento on the cover, here's what they said, 75 in attendance. Yeah. My dad put that newspaper in the mail to me. He mailed it to me. I'll show it to you on Sunday. He mailed it to me. I haven't got it yet. But I went on the Sacramento Bee's website, 75 in attendance. Look, my friend, they want you to think that Pastor Anderson's a screwball, he's nuts, he's radical, over the top, or
he's just trying to get attention. He just needs attention. He's just an attention whore. You know, he's a media whore. You know, who's the media whore? What in the world? You know, you're the one that's going to that media whore every single night when you turn on your TV and you're visiting that media brothel.
You know, I mean, what in the world? Like, oh, yeah, I'm sure Brother Jimenez just wants to just get attention. No, it's called preaching the word of God, you liberal loser, you pansy, you wimp. It's what you're afraid to do, so then you hide behind, oh, he's just trying to get attention. Yeah, because I love setting up 5 different online giving services in 1 week so that they can all be shut down. Spending hours and hours emailing over documents and trying to give them, you know, sending them all this corporate paperwork and bank accounts, everything, so it can be shut down an hour later. That's how I like to spend my time. It's so fun. No, but you know what? You say, well, yeah, but you enjoy fighting. Yeah, I do enjoy fighting. There, I said it. Yeah. Fight the good fight. I love it. Yeah. You know what? I look, I'm just going to confess to you. I'm having a great week.
Amen.
And it's not because I like to get attention. It's because I like to kick the devil's butt.
Amen.
It's because I like to kick this faggoty media's butt on TV whenever I do a live interview and expose them for the liberal fools that they are.
Yeah.
That's why. Amen. Look, if you don't enjoy a good fight, you're probably not even a man.
Right.
And look, I don't expect the ladies in here to enjoy a fight, but I expect every hair-legged man in this room to enjoy a good fight.
Yeah.
You know, let's give and receive some spiritual bloody noses this week.
Right.
You know, I'm all for it. You know, come on, take me on. You bunch of filthy sodomites. Take me on. Come on, go line up all your protesters and go ahead and shut down. Oh, we're going to call iTunes and shut you. You know what? We don't need iTunes because you know what? People will still, they'll come find my preaching wherever it is.
Yeah. Amen.
Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know what? While they're shutting down our iTunes and shutting down our YouTube accounts, which thank God hasn't happened yet, shutting down my Facebook page was shut down this week. While they're shutting down Facebook and shutting down, you know what? Have fun gathering up the 50,000 CDs and DVDs we've given out over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Have fun gathering those up because you know what people are going to do when the internet is taken away from us? People will just start making copies.
Yeah.
Making copies and just passing out copies, passing out copies. You can't stop the truth. And you know what? Even if they do beat us or imprison us or even kill us, you know what? They can never take our crown from us.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're the ones who are going to burn in hell, and the meek shall inherit the earth. The righteous will inherit the earth and be recompensed in the earth. And you know what? These people are going to be burning in hell for all eternity. The victory is ours. It's not theirs. They've already lost. We've already won. It's already been written. We've already read the last chapter. And we know that we are on the winning side.
Amen.
And you know what? The pastors who are ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words in this evil and adulterous generation, Jesus will be ashamed of them when he returns.
Right.
I mean, look, when I get to heaven, I want Jesus to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have preached the gospel to thousands. Well done." And you know what? He'll say the same thing to you. Because you know what? If you go faithfully soul winning, you'll preach the gospel to thousands. Even if you just preach the gospel to 20 people, right? In the course of a month or something, you know, you gave the gospel to 20 people in a month. You know, that's 240 people in a year's time. That's a lot of people to give the gospel. After 5 years, you've given the gospel to over 1,000 people doing that. You say, well, I can't give it to 20 a month. Okay, well, then what if you just gave it to 4 people a month? You know, you still, over time, you're going to reach those numbers of hundreds of people that you're preaching the gospel to. Look, I want to get to heaven and have God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want God to say to me, you know what? Thank you for preaching the Bible. You know what the Bible says? Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And that includes Leviticus 20:13.
That's right. Amen.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, the same shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Look, I want to get there and I want Christ to be pleased with me. And I know I'm not perfect. I've done a lot of stupid things. I am a sinful man. I am a human being. I am but flesh. But you know, I want to get to heaven and at least have God pleased with me that I didn't back down and that I preached the whole Bible and that I won souls.
Amen.
And you know what he's going to do when the other kind of pastor gets there? He's just going to be like, he's going to be ashamed. You know, God the Father says, well, who's this? Oh, well, Pastor so-and-so. What was that? Who's this? Well, that's it. It's Jeff Owens. Because he's ashamed of the word of God. I'm embarrassed. What, you're embarrassed? You got busted telling the truth? Embarrassed of the word of God? Embarrassed of the truth? I'm telling you, my friend, it's war. There is no and look, I'm not saying it's a physical war. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a spiritual war, and you need to get in or get out. You need to decide which side you're on. How are you going to make it through the tribulation if you can't even make it through the scrimmage? You can't even make it through the warm-up. And that's what we're warming up to right now. Eventually, it'll get totally cashless, and they'll easily be able to just shut you down. Shut you down on PayPal and everywhere else, and you won't be able to buy nor sell. It's happening. We are getting into the early stages of it. I'm not saying we're there at the mark of the beast, because clearly we're not. But this is the infrastructure being implemented. This is the beta testing. That's where we are. It is a spiritual battle. They're already trying to embargo us. They will never stop us. Look, I'll tell you this right now, that I'm going to get up early and stay up late every day, and I am going to do the most work that I've ever done in 2016 by the grace of God, you know, God willing. Amen. Obviously, I don't know what a day would bring forth, but if the Lord will, that's what I want to do. That's my desire, is to get up every day and work my tail off, and that 2016, we will do more to get the word of God to millions. And look, we're reaching millions of people. Why do you think they're shutting us down? You know why they're shutting us down? Because of the fact that we have literally tens of millions of views on YouTube. That's why. Because every time a sermon goes forth from this pulpit, it gets viewed in the first week 5,000 times, let alone the audio sermon that's downloaded 5,000 times. I mean, we get up and preach, and the world's listening, and we're making an impact. And soul winning is happening, and people are learning the truth about these other issues, and we're breaking through the brainwashing, and the devil doesn't like it. And honestly, he has got all of his guns trained on us right now. But look, I have to tell you, I'm not having a bad week. I'm actually enjoying it.
Amen.
I have to. I mean, I know some of you guys are enjoying it with me. So don't act like I'm all alone up here. Some of you thumbed up some of those comments too, didn't you? No, I'm just saying. Look, you know, hey, it's time to take the gloves off. Now's not the time to go soft. This doctrine of convenience. Well, it's just that, you know, and then they blame me for the persecution. Pastor Anderson's going to get us all persecuted. You know, he's playing right into their hands. Yeah, right. If I'm playing right into their hands, then why'd they shut down my iTunes podcast? Which, by the way, that was a popular podcast. That iTunes podcast Probably 20% of the sermon downloads were through that podcast. So there were literally hundreds of thousands of downloads on that thing. Why'd they shut down the podcast if I'm playing ball? Why are they shutting down the Facebook and the YouTube? Because they want to silence us. But you know what? They can't silence us. They can't stop us. We're not quitting. And I'm not taking one step backward. And if you're hanging around in this church waiting for me to back off on the homos, you need that meme on Facebook where it's that skeleton. Like, still waiting for Pastor Anderson. Still waiting for Pastor Anderson to show compassion on homos. Amen. Still waiting for Pastor Anderson to tone down the preaching on the side. Look, you're going to be waiting until the cows come home. Yeah. You're going to be waiting until Jesus comes.
Right. Amen.
I studied the Bible before I opened my mouth. I'm sorry, Jeff Owens. I'm not young, stupid, and immature. I actually studied the Bible and made sure I was right, and then I opened my mouth and preached it. And I'm never going to change. And I will go to the grave. And if anybody catches me, you know, toning this down or backing off on this doctrine, I give you my permission to slap me silly. I give you my permission to slap me across the face, you know, 39 times. I mean that. We didn't get through much of Jeremiah 16 tonight. But honestly, you know, we needed just the battle cry to go forth tonight. And just understand, look, you don't side with the world. You don't side with the perverts at a time like this. You say, well, I just don't agree with every jot and tittle of the way Pastor Anderson preaches it. So what? Do you think that everybody in this room agrees with everything I say or everything I believe? Because guess what? They don't. And don't you start listing all the things you don't agree with me. I'm just saying, you know, nobody, look, and it's true, no two Christians are going to agree on everything. It's just not going to happen. You know, look, if you don't agree on every jot and tittle, so what? Why don't you support the people who are actually turning this world upside down? Why don't you support the people who are actually breathing fire against homos? Why don't you support the people that are rallying hundreds of soul winners and having hundreds of people consistently saved every single month, hundreds and hundreds of people saved? Why don't you rally in support of somebody who's preaching verse by verse through the King James Bible what the guy down the street's afraid to touch with a 10-foot pole, those verses? And you know, a lot of the stuff that you don't agree on, it's just because you're wrong. And, you know, I'm sure there's some things that I'm wrong about, but the bottom line is, though, that doesn't matter because you can't expect everybody to agree with you 100% and be perfect. But people will go to queer little sissy Baptist down the church, or church, queer little sissy Baptist church down the street because Pastor Anderson's a little too harsh with the homeless. And then they're like Goldilocks. They get there and it's too liberal. And then they're here and the preaching's too hot. And they're trying to find that one that's just right. I would that were cold or hot, Goldilocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, Goldilocks, because you're lukewarm.
Amen.
And so I'm saying tonight that we are under attack right now. Pray for us. But I don't want you to get the wrong idea from this sermon, like, oh man, you know, this is really taking its toll on Pastor Anderson, and oh man, the finances are shot. No, our finances are doing great. You know, everything's fine. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight, and I'm going to get up in the morning and be like, you know. So, you know, I'm feeling great.
Amen.
I'm not down at all. I'm not scared. Oh man, these sodomites, you know, their persecution, it's working. It's not where all it's working is just makes me want to preach harder.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Because this sermon would have been a totally different sermon if they hadn't come after me. You know what? You ought to thank the homos of this world for providing this sermon. If you like this kind of sermon. This sermon is gratis day, you know, Orlando. Yeah, gratis, you know, or you know, it's this sermon was brought to you in part by PayPal. This sermon was brought to you in part by iTunes. Because they're the ones who made me mad. And you know what? All they do is just make me want to preach harder and fight more. And don't tell me this is my hobby horse that I, why do you keep talking about it? Why are you so fixated on it? Because they're cramming it down my stinking throat every day. Why do they keep talking about it? Does a day go by that they don't bring it up? Oh, let's see. Why do I keep talking about it? Because I went to the banking website and there was a rainbow flag. And then I went to the email and there was a rainbow flag. And I went to YouTube and there was a rainbow flag. And then I go to the store and there's a rainbow flag. And I go to the Tempe Public Library and it's Transgender Tuesday. When I went to, I'm in the juvenile section. It said Transgender Tuesdays at the Tempe Public Library. Just like a week and a half ago or whenever it was. And then people are like, well, you must be a closet homo because you're so fixated on it. Look, I'm not fixated on it. It's being crammed down my stinking throat every day. I guess Moses was a closet homo because he preached so hard about it. Paul was a closet homo. I mean, why would you open up Romans with that? Unless you got issues. You know, I mean, why? You know, Romans chapter 1, I mean, it's a book that's supposed to be about salvation and everything. Why are you just going off on that, Paul, huh? A little homophobic there? Look, I've had Christians call me homophobic. Listen, anybody who uses the word homophobic needs to get right with God. Anybody who uses the word LGBT community needs to get right with God. Anybody who uses the term, hate speech needs to get right with God. What other terms do people need to stop using? Or so that we know that they're just fully brainwashed. What?
Gay.
They're gay. We're all gay.
Amen. Yeah.
We're happy.
Amen.
What else?
Legalist. Yeah, you're a legalist.
Yes, I'm a legalist. What else? Help me out. Come on, we need to shut these people up. Shut them down. How about this one?
Sexual orientation.
Sexual preference. How about that one? Your preference. How about this one? Alternative lifestyle.
Gender identity.
Gender fluid. I mean, look, where did these words even come from? They came from the pit of hell!
Yeah.
Listen to me, I feel like every day I'm living in the Twilight Zone. It's the episode that I feel like I'm on a Twilight Zone marathon that lasted the whole weekend. You remember that? Remember those Twilight Zone marathons? It was like the whole Memorial Day weekend? That's life now. We're living that. We need to get on that Superman marathon that came on Labor Day. Get off this Twilight Zone kick. But anyway, I'll shut down the sermon so you can go home. But the bottom line is, you know, we as God's people need to fight the good fight. And look, standing for the gospel is not enough. We need to stand for the whole Bible.
Amen.
Whole Bible. All of it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for our church, Lord, where, you know, they can shut down our YouTube and Facebook and PayPal. But you know what? They can never stop us from opening our mouths and preaching the word of God and saying whatever we want. Lord, help us to have the boldness and to realize that these foolish pastors who say that we're ruining free speech by preaching hard against sin and homos, help them to realize, Lord, that you keep your rights by exercising them, not by failing to exercise them. And Lord, I pray that if there's any little Twinkie in this room tonight, that they would get out of our church and stop spreading their queer little doctrine. And Lord, if there's anybody in here that's brainwashed by the world, Lord, I pray that they would renew their mind by the Spirit of God, and I pray that they would have a reading marathon through Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.